I guess our secret is to constantly empathize with kids and parents at the same time, and to balance the needs between these two stakeholders and get the right balance of fun and education.
Welcome to Kids Lab, a podcast for parents, educators, and everybody interested in STEAM education. Today on the show, we're talking to Tad Leong, the CTO of Kodomo from Singapore, about Potato Pirates, a fun coding game for the whole family. So Tad is the CTO of Kodomo, a Singapore-based educational organization. He's part of a diverse team of engineers and designers with the vision of embedding social learning, innovation, technology, and entertainment in education. Tad has won numerous design awards, such as the Red Dot Design Award, the Japan Good Design Award, and Core 77 Design Awards. He's also an adjunct fellow at the Singapore University of Technology and Design, an Apple Professional Learning Educator, and an Amazon Web Services Certified Cloud Educator. The Kodomo team is made up of pioneer students from the Singapore University of Technology and Design, where problem solving via design thinking was a central component of their studies. Their first Kickstarter was a game called Potato Pirates. Potato Pirates is a coding card game that is designed to get children to learn 10 hours of programming concepts in just 30 minutes without computers. Kodomo has also designed a curriculum that integrates Scratch, making coding less intimidating, more engaging, and lots of fun. And 2 years and 3 design awards later, Kodomo is back with another game, Potato Pirates Enter the Spudnet. This game is inspired by how the internet works and is the most exciting way to learn about the fundamentals of network and cybersecurity, all without a computer. So if you're interested, head over to kidslab.dev for this episode's blog post, the show notes, and of course lots of images. So, hi Tad, it's great to have you on the show. How is life these days in Singapore and how are you personally?
Hi, I'm good. I'm fulfilling my Kickstarter right now. I'm trying to stay calm amidst all the panic surrounding the COVID pandemic. So just lucky to be in Singapore with a good healthcare system. I hope things are under control in Munich as well.
Yeah, so let's quickly also mention the date here. So it's March 18, right? And it looks like in Singapore, as you mentioned, it's pretty much under control. I think the numbers haven't been rising so sharply lately. I would say over here in Europe, March 18 again, it's not so much under control. I think we're like in the middle of this kind of exponential growth. But so far, things are now relatively calm, I would say. Kids are all at home. Homeschooling. Yeah, it's exciting and interesting times, and let's just hope that we can contain it as much as possible.
Yeah.
Tad, let's talk about Kodomo. Okay, so I've seen that you're offering many great courses around Minecraft, Scratch, and Python, or even with the Microbit, for example. So this sounds super exciting. Can you tell us what Kodomo is all about? And also, if you're kind of, are you restricted to Singapore or are you offering these courses elsewhere too?
Right. So maybe I just tell you a bit more about Kodomo first. So what we do at Kodomo is to empower students by giving them tools to innovate. So we achieve this by combining three things: design thinking, combinational thinking, and maker culture to transform their learning experience. Then we inject it with themes from pop culture and games and real world scenarios to appeal to students. So for example, we got things like, you said, Minecraft to help them to learn Python. And we also have Microbits and NeoPixels, and we teach them how to build the Iron Man arc reactor. So we believe that kids are really creative and they enjoy learning as long as we make the topics relevant to them. And while going through these courses, they learn about the basics of design thinking, fundamental coding concepts like loops, functions, and conditionals, and more importantly, have the competency to create something. So we ran stints overseas. We ran hackathons in China. We ran immersion programs in Myanmar. We ran preschool programs in Japan, and also recently started licensing our curriculum to train trainers in Hong Kong. But we find it really hard to get trainers up to the standard that we want to be able to teach design and coding and making as well. So a lot of times it's still up to us to run all these courses. And so far overseas stints have been a very one-off engagement. And besides kids, we also teach university students. So we collaborated with our university and JP Morgan Foundation to pilot Design Odyssey. So this is an 18-month program where we bring students through the whole design process from identifying problems to creating solutions, and finally do a pitch and get funding for their companies. And all these problems are from a sustainable angle. So one of the companies called Ugly Food, they recycle food, their food waste. They minimize food waste by converting aesthetically unpleasing foods into juices and ice cream. And this program has been recognized by Design Singapore Council as a role model for design education programs. So besides that, we also do adult education where we teach companies innovation, app development, and data analytics and cybersecurity.
So I would say before we talk about the two Kickstarter projects that you have around tabletop and card games, to just very quickly, what are the top courses that you're offering and that kids and parents are mostly interested in? Let's maybe separate this between parents and kids, right? So parents might be interested in something else than the kids are, right? So what do you think are the top courses?
So kids love all our courses because they are gamified and the themes are relatable to them. So like Minecraft with Python, Kodu game design. So they design games using the Kodu Game Lab platform. Scratch is also quite popular. So we make Scratch and Makey together. So they get to build projects that are tangible, that creates something that actuates something inside the Scratch project. Parents, on the other hand, actually look for courses with more tangible projects to show and at the same time builds the character of their child. So courses with the best review are design-centric courses where we get students to solve real-life challenges that they relate to. So maybe I'll just bring you through a couple of them. One of them is redesign your waking up experience. So we use the MIT App Inventor, and it's a 5-day camp. So the first day, we'll teach them basic coding concepts. All these students don't really have a background. So we teach them basic coding concepts, variables, loops, conditionals, and teach them how to build an app using the MIT App Inventor. Then after that, we give them a design challenge. So the challenge is to redesign the waking up experience. I mean, everyone wakes up every day, so they will face this problem. And it makes it very relatable to kids because some of them complain that they miss their school bus or they get to school late and they hate waking up to school. So how can we redesign that? So we get them to go down to the streets to interview people. So these are like, just keep in mind, these are like 7-8-year-old kids and they are like interviewing adults on the street.
That's great.
Yeah. Just strangers to them. So at first, we guide them and slowly, once they interview one or two, they get the hang of it. They become more confident to speaking to strangers. And most of the time, Singaporeans are actually quite friendly to these kids. I mean, they are kids, so they're quite friendly to them and they answer patiently and they can spend like maybe up to 15 minutes talking to the kid. So once they get all these interview findings, we go back to the drawing board and think of solutions and how they can implement it in App Inventor. And finally, once they have the functional app, we get them down to the streets again to test with people. And from there, they go through the iterative process of product development and we teach them how to build a landing page for their app. And all that in just 5 days.
This is really amazing. I think that's also design thinking at its best, right? I mean, even going out into the streets and interviewing people, right? Trying to understand your persona. This is so much real life. This is very cool.
And because it's so relatable to them, right? So one of the groups got so involved, they even carry on the project after the workshop, which is what we want to see. They gain more autonomy in their own education and they eventually build a barcode alarm. So it's quite crazy. So
this is perfect, right? That's the best that can happen if someone continues doing what you actually told him or her to do, right? It's awesome.
And eventually they won the MIT Most Innovative App Award for January that year. So that was quite encouraging for them.
Very cool. So this is very exciting. Nice piece about design thinking here. Mm. So let's now chat about Potato Pirates. Okay. So it's a card game, and I was among your Kickstarters a while back. So can you tell us what Potato Pirates is all about? It's a coding for kids with a card game, right? How does this work?
So the motivation behind it was, as tech educators, we see a growing trend where kids are learning through digital devices. And at the same time, we hear complaints from parents and teachers about the adverse effects of screen time, and they're craving for more offline platforms that are educational yet engaging for their kids. So we wanted something that's offline analog. So teaching something digital through an analog medium was quite a challenge, but something that we wanted to do. And moreover, most parents didn't learn such things in school. So whenever kids come to our workshop, they go home. And then when they go home, the parents couldn't help them in their coding challenges and stuff. So there's a lack of continuity in the kids' learning journey. So we want to bring the parents into the learning and get them to learn with their kids. So a board game is a perfect match, because even if you are a grandparent, a parent, or a kid, all of you all can learn together and play together through a card game. And that was the motivation behind it. And most importantly, it doesn't need Wi-Fi, it doesn't need computers, and it doesn't even need electricity, which is one of the main bummer during the first class of coding, where there's a lot of password restrictions, emails, requirements that just hampers the first impression people have of coding. Yeah, so in this game, you can learn it in 10 minutes. We have YouTube tutorials to teach you how to play the game. So it's for anyone age 7 and up, and it's for 3 to 6 players. So in the game, you can stack action cards like roast, mash, and fry. And you can fry one another in the game. So everyone starts off with 20 potato pirates, and you have 2 ships to build your commands. So the ships are like functions. So you build your roast, mash, and fry attacks on those ships. And to make them even more powerful, you stack them with control cards, and that's where the coding comes in. You have for loops, while loops, if else, conditionals. You can even do nested for loops and stuff like that. And then by just playing the game, they learn all these fundamental coding concepts and become a badass potato pirate.
That's very cool. And they also teach their parents this way. Yeah. So you can really, now I know it from my own gameplays, right? You have these conditionals. You can say if there are more than 8 potatoes on that chip, then smash it twice or something like that, right? So this is very cool. It really teaches the basic concepts. So Ted, I've seen that you also have some Scratch-based curriculums available for that card game. I think that must be something you're offering in your workshops then at Codomo locally. So how does this look like, and how are you coding the game basically, right?
Right. So we code it just like Scratch. So basically, Potato Pirates is really just the first step into the world of programming. But to really create stuff, we need to tap on other platforms. So that's why we have curriculums such as Scratch, Python, and Swift. And for the Scratch curriculum, it's really targeted at ages 6 to 12. We just use the Potato Pirates theme to make the Scratch lessons more thematic. So students will follow the Potato Pirates on a voyage. So the story is split into different chapters. The first chapter talks about mutiny, where Potato King is marooned on an island because he did not show gratitude to his crew members. Yeah, so they abandoned him. Then students will hop onto the Scratch environment, and their first challenge is to program Potato King to move around the island to collect wood so that he can build a raft to sail back home. Then as the curriculum progresses, there will be more concepts added in, such as variables, conditionals, and loops, things that they see in the actual card game that they now need to translate into code in Scratch. And because there's this bridging from the offline to the online, they see a continuity, and it's much easier to teach them the concepts now. Then finally, at the end, they have to build their own Potato Pirates voyage, which is really a free-form challenge, because like what we our motivation for every workshop is we want students to come up with something different. It's not like you follow step 1 to 10 and every kid comes up with the same thing. That's not what we want. So that's why we have a freeform challenge at the end where they use whatever they learn to build something that they own.
And I think recently you now launched a second Kickstarter, right? So there's a continuation of Potato Pirates called Enter the Sputnet. And I believe it's all about internet and online safety, which is also a topic that's really interesting. And I see a lot of kids actually using these devices just very freely without thinking, right? So it probably makes sense to talk about this topic a bit. So what is Enter the Sputnet all about?
Yeah, so Enter the Sputnet is about a game that teaches networking and cybersecurity concepts. And we believe like with the rise in cyber attacks, there's a need to educate students on how the internet works and the vulnerabilities they are susceptible to. Because like, I mean, even if you order food, it's digital. If you buy stuff online, it's digital. Our banking and everything is digital. So, but then not everyone knows how the internet works. So the Enter the Sputnet is a game to design and to teach and help them visualize how information flows throughout the internet. And through this game, very dry and cryptic concepts. Like even for myself as a programmer, cybersecurity is like, whoa, it's like another level. But then yeah. With this game, it really brings all these very cryptic concepts and make it accessible to anyone, even if you are not in the tech industry. And in a very fun, social, and engaging way, which is the medium of a board game. So what we did for coding with Potato Pirates, we want to do it the same for cybersecurity.
Sounds very cool. And what is the current state of this Kickstarter campaign now? Are you close to fulfillment or not so close? Hitting any problems?
I mean, in March, we are still struggling with the factories closed, taking a break due to the COVID virus. But after that, they slowly resumed. And in May, we should be close to finished with our production. And we'll ship out all our stuff in June and July.
So hopefully by the time that our listeners can listen to this, you might be really close to fulfillment or even started, actually. So this is cool. And of course, we can't really know what's going to happen with COVID-19, right? So, but let's keep the fingers crossed.
Yeah.
Thanks for the update. So now, Ted, Singapore is a very special market, right? So I talked about it with a couple of teachers now already. And I think the Singapore education system and the education market is very, very competitive. But can you describe the market in your own words? I mean, you're really from Singapore, right? And you offer courses in Singapore. Maybe you've even been born here, right? So
yeah.
How would you describe Singapore? What's special about the education market here?
Yeah, so I've been through the whole education system in Singapore since I was young. And to be fair, there's efforts to change it and to include more creativity, maker culture and stuff like that. But the majority of the education market is still dominated by the tuition industry, your traditional subjects like your math and sciences and languages. Then there's also enrichment activities such as art classes, taekwondo, swimming. And so from a parent's perspective, tech and coding education falls under this enrichment activity. It's not really a core thing. Yeah, so that's where the competitiveness comes in because there's many players in the market. But as children, I only have 24 hours a day, right? And they have only so much time outside of school to pick up classes. So they really have no life. They are jam-packed with tuition and enrichment activities, even on weekends and weekdays after school. So yeah, as much as possible, when they come to our classes, we try to make it fun and enriching for them and have a healthy mix of activities between sitting at a desk and talking to people and interacting through board games and stuff. So I guess our secret is to to constantly empathize with kids and parents at the same time and to balance the needs between these two stakeholders and get the right balance of fun and education.
So Ted, I guess this year you'll be focusing on fulfilling the latest Kickstarter, right? But I also wanted to, towards the end of our interview, if there's something else that's coming up and that you're already working on that you can think of that you might want to fulfill also in 2020, are you looking forward to something special?
Yeah, so fulfilling the Kickstarter is one. At the same time, we are ramping up our next product on gamifying creativity and design thinking. So the working title is Creativity for Humanity. We often hear people say that they are not creative enough, but we believe that everyone has the innate ability to create. So the motivation for this product is to democratize and demystify creativity, making it accessible to everyone. The idea is quite simple. You can just get your team or your class to hop into the game room. There'll be a challenge. For example, combine these three objects with a trolley. So you can choose one of those objects. It could be a broccoli, it could be a soccer ball, or it could be a piano. And then you'll have 90 seconds to sketch your idea and 30 seconds to give a clickbait caption. So you can do it with your classroom. If you're a teacher, you can do it with your product team, or you can do it in events as icebreakers. And after they sketch out, they will rate one another's ideas anonymously. And finally, we'll have the first few winners. So the benefits are to teach different ideation techniques and to provide a safe environment for everyone to ideate and discuss ideas objectively. And more importantly, to get them to collaborate and build on one another's ideas.
Very cool. It sounds very cool what you're doing in the design thinking space here. Really, I'm really looking forward to that. So Ted, thank you very much for your time. It was great to have you on the show. Please send me all the links that you have so I can put them into the show notes. And yeah, let's hope COVID-19 doesn't hit us so hard. All the best for the future, and let's stay in touch, okay? Thank you so much.
Thank you.
I hope you enjoyed hearing about Kodomo's educational card games and their other activities. Now head over to kidslab.dev to check out the show notes with all the links of this episode. And of course, don't forget to subscribe now if you don't want to miss a future one. Next up, we're talking to Miller and Rosemary from Revolution Robotics. Their company creates robotic kits, challenges, and competitions that develop critical 21st century work skills.